Welcome to another episode of Trench Tips, and a very special episode of Trench Tips. Not only are we the second best sales agency, but we've acquired all the members of the B team. Today, joining me is our ops director, Mr. Ben Owen, Jack, who
Hello.
you'll know through infamy on LinkedIn, I'm sure. We've also got Sean Ball here, marketing maestro, wizard. I don't know how he does the things that he does, but he's here as well because the four of us are teaming up to take on the world of zombie leads, which we're going to talk about in this call. But first and foremost, Sean, maybe you're best to kick this off. What are zombie leads?
Sure, and first of all, I'm just happy to make the B team because I thought I was at least C. So thank you for that, Zach. Zombie leads. The best way of thinking about zombie leads, and everybody has them, right? The leads that are sat in your CRM, where you spoke to them last few months or years, and they're kind of not really alive. They're not dead. They're just like zombie, right? Just wandering around, eating up meat, eating up the living in your CRM. And nothing's really happened with them. They're kind of stagnant, and it's a real pain, certainly for people like Ben and other ops leaders, because you're like, we've got all this stuff in our CRM, we don't want to cleanse it, but we haven't got either the resources, the skills, or even just the fortitude to go through systematically and methodically to actually uncover which ones are still could be perhaps resurrected.
Yes. I'll give you an example of something that I found that is quite shocking. Jack, maybe let's throw this one over to you. 80% of leads that are generated from events and exhibitions aren't followed up. Do you believe that?
I don't know what the right answer is. Do I believe it? If you told me it was 100%, I think I'd bloody believe you, Zach.
Why?
We spend a lot of our time speaking to leaders and sales that will kind of invest their budget. And one thing that I find is people like to have conversations, but conversations for the sake of conversation. So it doesn't surprise me that a lot of time and effort goes into generating leads, and people think, yeah, but I've already got my 10 accounts. I'll focus on the ones that I know. Whereas a lot of the hard work gets left by the wayside. But don't leave us all hanging, Zach. Is it true or false?
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. And I'm sorry to break that to you. And interestingly enough, right, I won't name the client because obviously it puts their sales team in a funny position. But we had a client who came to us and said, "We did this event, great, generated loads of leads, the sales team did. But what they found was when they tried to follow up with them, they couldn't get hold of anyone. So can we give this to you? There's probably nothing in it, but can we give this to you to follow up with?" Now they gave it to us, and the person who was on it in our team couldn't believe how easy it was and receptive people were to the right messaging. And it was all booked via phone and followed up that way. There was no long cadences or anything like that. So, question for Sean, as you've been in this space before, why do you think salespeople are waiting for marketing to generate inbound traffic and not qualify leads, even when they've spoke to them at an event?
Because they're lazy. You lot are just lazy, man. Have a joke. I'm kind of half joking. I think well, sales is hard work. Prospecting's hard work. There's a lot of rejection, as you guys know very well. And I think as well as once people start to get a track record of generating revenue and pipeline in a sales role, they kind of think, what's the best way of saying this? They kind of think that type of work is beneath their pay grade. Like they just want orders to sign, really. And in a way, do I blame them? Well, yeah, I do. But do I blame them, like, sort of? But at the end of the day, they want marketing. If marketing does its job correctly, then that should be the case, really, to a certain extent. There should be a healthy flow of inbound. And there also should be people that you speak to at the event or whatever outlet it is should have such a good experience that they should remember you. Of course, the problem is, you guys know very well because you guys just came back from one of these types of dos. You speak to that many people, you've probably got up at the crack of dawn, You've hardly had any sleep. You may have had several pints, whether that be alcoholic or non-alcoholic, Jack. And then you're absolutely knackered. You go back to the office. You've got a massive to-do list. People are contacting you, and just your mental capacity suddenly just gets completely saturated again. And that conversation you have with that person that might have been a good fit, vendor, even a partner for you, has disappeared, in my view.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that. Salespeople are lazy. Let's stick with that as the...
Just end of the show. You're not lazy.
So, Ben, over to you. So let's say, from an ops perspective, we've got loads and loads of campaigns going, right? Obviously, we deal with teams who... They've got their own SDR team. They've got their own AEs. They might even have their own marketing function. So they're sat there on this pool of data, and they're not 100% sure where to start or if there's even a problem in the first place. From your side, setting someone up for success, what sort of things are you spotting from the campaigns that we do?
It's a good question. I think it's all around. There's a lot of bad data out there, isn't there? So it depends where we get that from, the source, and how neat it is for the guys to sort of just be able to run at. I always think the ideal scenario is that we sort of refine that data and then get it in there so they can just, you know, day one, start going at the good stuff, and maybe you filter out into different pots. So you've got batch one, which is, you know, the really good stuff and mobile numbers and, you know, validated and things like that. And then it then falls sort of down the chain. I think as well, like the amount of, you know, for us in particular with certain campaigns, a lot of the time when I receive data from clients and things like that, or clients we've worked with in the past, it's just like, it's just so messy that I'm not surprised that people aren't dialing for it, because it just, I mean, it's painful to even sift through it. So I think, yeah, it's sell for success is trying to refine all of that data before you get it into the system, or however you do it in the system to refine it down and make sure you've got clean pots to run at, basically.
And sticking with you, Ben, because I think you'd have some interesting insight here, in terms of the job roles that we target, who typically is the best job role that we book with time and time again that might surprise people?
You've put me on the spot there.
I know the answer.
I'd probably say, so if you're saying surprising, I think I'd say sort of like CEO, owner, sort of founder type. I think in terms of the word surprising is, I think people would be surprised at the fact that you'd think maybe they don't have enough time in the day to take a call and things like that. However, when we target them and go after them, they're usually surprised that no one's spoke to them about it, because usually people are scared of sort of going after them, really. Mm. And I think to some degree, obviously, you know, can be challenged on this, but in terms of the amount of emails that a CEO or owner or founder would get, usually they probably have somebody else managing their inbox anyway. So the chance that they'd actually pick something up can be probably more difficult. Whereas if you actually just contact them by phone and you ring them and you manage to get a few minutes of them, usually they're quite then susceptible, especially to our approach, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I'd 100% agree with that. And the amount of CEOs we speak to, when we hit them with the opener of you probably get thousands of these or whatever it may be, the common response is, you'd be surprised, I actually get none of these. So yeah, right. So let me give you a little start here. So according to HubSpot's State of Inbound report, 61% of sales professionals list qualifying as their top challenge. That's salespeople saying that they struggle to qualify. Question for Jack, and then maybe Sean, I can get your thoughts after this. But Jack, why do you think salespeople are struggling with that aspect?
Well, I'll agree with Sean. Not only are salespeople lazy, but salespeople typically, not everybody, please don't shoot me for this, but typically salespeople like the sound of their own voice. Okay, so if I go into a situation where I love the sound of my own voice, like now, for example, and all I do is talk about me, myself, and I, and all the wonderful things that I've done and all the wonderful things that I can do, well, then I'm not going to spend my time talking about other people and their world, which means I'm going to be an awful listener. I'm not going to be empathetic. And if I'm only talking about myself, how on earth could I even begin to start to qualify whether somebody's motivated, if they've got the problem, if you can even help them? Because in order to qualify, you've got to give a shit about other people. So not only are we lazy, we don't care about other people. So that's probably why people are struggling to qualify, is because they're not asking questions that help them qualify the situation.
Wow. Very nihilistic view that I fully agree with. So very good.
Yeah.
So Sean, I'll pose it slightly differently for you then. So let's say from a sales perspective, you know, you hear a lot of talk about, well, the low-hanging fruit. So let's take the zombie lead example. So we've gone over someone's old exhibition event data, follow up with people who ghosted or, you know, did a call me back in 6 months type response. So we've gone over the pipeline. Within that, we've generated, there's your meetings, but here's some people who aren't quite ready to buy yet. There's some interest there, but they're not quite ready to buy yet. There's a bit more of a process to follow. From your perspective as a marketeer, what's the journey to take those on in terms of changing them from interested to qualified? Where do we start?
I think the default response for most marketers is just more content, more stuff, more emails. And what we typically see when we start working with, and I'm like using the royal we here, when I and my and other partners kind of get asked in to help clients with this exact problem, it's not that we need more content at all. There's a lot of good stuff that's normally already there. It's just it hasn't been aligned to the buyer stage or the buyer journey and the buyer stages within it. It hasn't got a clear objective. And then most importantly, it hasn't been leveraged properly. You post it once on LinkedIn and it's like done. And I'm a really big fan of like squeezing as much value as possible out of any effort that you do from a marketing output point of view. So in answer to the question of how do you drive them? Well, there's only so much you can do. If people aren't ready to buy from you, they're not ready to buy from you, right? I mean, maybe you guys could talk anyone into anything probably. In a good way, I should say, by the way there, nothing cynical. But I think that's the kind of key bit. How do we drive more value out of what we already have before we send our content teams off or ChatGPT off to just produce some more stuff? Because nobody needs more content in this day and age. I think everyone agrees with that. We need better stuff that serves our needs. So that's the key bit. Think about how does this piece of content align with the buyer journey, whether it's problem education, solution research, and solution selection. And most people just haven't done that work, which again comes back to this ever increasing mountain of zombie leads that just go to die a slow, painful death. When actually, what's that famous line? There's gold in them hills.
Yeah.
The right approach, you actually could definitely convert some of those, or at least cleanse the bloody CRM and get the crap out, get the truly dead ones out.
Yeah, I'd agree. And the evidence we've got around that is the amount of people that we get inbound that are, I've been following you on LinkedIn for a little while, I've watched this YouTube video, I listened to this podcast episode. There's often more of a journey of someone persuading themselves that seems to take place when someone's not quite ready. And if you're not the one doing the persuading, someone else is probably doing it for you, and it's probably one of your competitors ready to snap them up. So another thing, and Ben, actually, I think you're probably going to be the best man to talk to around this, is unrealistic expectations. And I think that probably goes both ways. So it could be someone who's really under-egging it and someone who's really over-egging it. But in terms of someone's experience in setting something up for success, what's the difference between unrealistic expectations and someone who's really, really realistic about what they're expected?
So, and are you saying that from like a client perspective, then?
Yeah.
I just think some people just don't quite understand the game a little bit and don't understand what a level of expectation is. So, you know, you can look on, I'm trying to think back to an old client that were really unhappy once. And I think being honest, we have our delivery rate for them. We've been working them for them for months. So this is people attending meetings, was 90-odd%. And, you know, they were starting to get a little bit, you know, grilling us a little bit over it. And I remember thinking, I don't really understand what's going on here, because I think industry average is about 70%. Some industries lower than that, some probably a little bit higher. And it's just that thing of like, they don't quite know what they're doing. So they just expect this unrealistic, you know, aspiration of like, everyone's going to show up, everyone's going to be qualified. And realistically, that's not what, well, it's not realistic. And it's also not necessarily what we do as well. And then you get the other flip side of it where someone's like, oh, I've never really done it before, and really, you know, easy client where it's just, yeah, whatever happens, happens. And if nothing, you know, comes through, then not a problem. But, you know, ultimately, you want to have the nice balance of having a challenge there. You want to be aiming towards something. But then it's also about being really clear from both ways. What is that expectation? What are the goals? Who do you want to be speaking to? Who do you want to be getting in front of? And ultimately, I guess us then outlining back our expectations when we run things is usually that what we do is run around those problems and impacts, motivation, all of those sort of things. That's what we class as that qualification process, because, you know, there's many different ways that someone would potentially differ in a qualification process. Obviously, people throw the word bant out there, and I'm not gonna poke the bear too much with that one.
Don't say it. I don't hear it. So I think any salespeople that are listening, that desired future state, if you're talking about that with people, you know, expectations for us working together, how you know it's working, you need to have that secondary awareness of what sounds realistic. So I've had people before say to me, well, for this to work, I would have had to have closed a deal in the first month. Okay, what's your sales cycle? It's 9 months. Okay, so I don't understand the difference in the benchmark. Like, why would we be able to do it quicker than you can do it internally? So expectations are a big one. And I imagine internally, people often have interesting expectations around what they expect their salespeople to do, whether it's too much or too little. Okay, so let's talk about what we might be able to offer, maybe. I don't want to promise anything, okay? So let's say someone sat there with a pipeline full of hope. Could be follow-ups, could be ghosting, could be things that they've generated from webinars, events, exhibitions, product launches, newsletters. There's probably a plethora of things out there, and they're sat on a CRM, not quite sure what to do. You think, you know what, I'll just maybe send that other follow-up email, or maybe just let the phone ring 3 times and then I'll hang up and hope they don't answer. So Sean came up with an idea, and I think, Sean, you're probably the best man to intro this, because it's a Halloween-only campaign. And maybe you can give us, Sean, the premise and the problems people might be experiencing that might make it worthwhile us all having a conversation.
Oh, you're trusting the marketing guy to sell something. That's brilliant.
Come on.
Well, you know, we've discussed why zombie leads, where they come from, the problem with them, and the potential solution. So this idea came about is, it's going to be Halloween soon, zombie relating to Halloween, of course. And this particular offering really is, like we say in the Northeast, right? Shy Ben's getting out. If you don't ask, you don't get. And that's the problem with the decaying pile of zombie leads, as we've discussed about the skills, the fortitude, and the resource in order to actually do stuff that gets them cleared or wanting to speak to you. So, it's a way of understanding what is the value proposition of a particular client. How do we then say it again in different formats and an interesting way, adding value to that person's inbox as well? Like, we've talked about content, how that maps across the kind of buyer journey. How do you do that in a systematic way that doesn't take ages and doesn't cost a bomb? And we've done this time and time again. And then there's the key bit, which I don't do, which you guys do exceptionally well, which is, that's all well and good, but then how do you make contact with that person over and above their inbox? Because we've seen it before on the mutual client projects we work on. A CEO or a really strong ICP contact, looks at the email, checks out a smart link, you know, does all of the lead scoring things that the digital world would suggest this is a piping hot lead, but they're not calling you, they're not replying to the email. It's like, then what? And that's where you need a very skillful person to pick up the phone, not, oh, hi, how are you? And all that, you know, get this donkey off the phone type approach. But, you know, the way you guys do it, which is trying to qualify, almost talk that person out of it. Like, so we're just trying to get to the point of maybe not quite order, like we said before, but get to the point where that person is in a very good place that we can pass it over to the lazy salesperson. No offense, potential clients watching this, but you just want a list of people who are qualified, re-engaged, the reasons why and what the next step is. And you don't necessarily want to do it yourself. And it's going to be Q1 before you know it, by the way, of next year, which is a scary thought in of itself. But why do all this hard work yourself when you could give it to a specialist or specialists like us? And for I was going to say for one night only, that's not true. For 1 month only, till the end of Halloween, Generation Demand, which is my business, marketing consultancy and tactical execution agency, and the lovely three guys at WAM and their wider team are coming together for a joint venture, which is the Zombie Lead Resurrection Service. Give us all your zombie leads and we will do our thing, give you the gold and clear the crap. How was that?
Beautiful. He's a salesman, really. He's a salesman, really.
Oh, no, that's...
So who's it for? So if you're a business owner, CEO, sales leader, you're sat on a CRM that's maybe sounding like somewhat similar to what we're talking about, and you want to get some outcomes out of that, what you'd potentially get from working with us is, here's a pipeline that is either qualified or disqualified. So you'd have, here's my yeses, I've re-engaged with people, I've warmed them back up, I've properly qualified them, I've got them motivated, and they're booked back in the diary as a meeting, demo, discovery call, whatever your first step is from that. The other outcome is that you've disqualified stuff. So it's not just hope that's sat in your pipeline. No one likes that when they're reporting back to stakeholders and shareholders. Here's all these leads that are still in the pipeline. Here's all this business that's, I said was going to close 3 months ago, 6 months ago, but I haven't got the bottle to call it up and just get rid of it. So those are two outcomes. Now there's a step in the middle, which is actually, these are people that might need a bit more work. They might need to stay in the process a little bit longer. And that's where Sean's going to come in and work some magic and get people warmed up and engaged, so that when they engage with you, not only are they warmed up, but they're educated, they're motivated, and they're in a position where they're either going to buy or try or never speak to you again. And on top of all that, the thing that you probably want the most to safeguard you for future success is the work that Ben would be able to do, which is, he can interrogate all the work that's been going on, find out where you are potentially going to have the most success, which is going to be these job roles, this messaging, this time of day, this many calls, this, all that work in the background that you can then take away and put that over your existing sales function and say, right, I'll never be in this spot again. The pipeline will always be qualified. We'll be working with yeses or knows, and we'll eradicate all hope. Because if you're hoping, you're dying. Have I missed anything?
Where do I sign? That sounds awesome.
Cool. So if you are interested, get in touch with one of us. We'll have a chat with you. It's too expensive. You probably won't do it. See what I'm doing?
Yeah, definitely. At the very least, by the way, obviously, we're the gold standard doing it, obviously. But even if we are too expensive for you, for God's sake, do this yourself. Like you said, Zach, don't just keep on adding to this hopium that exists in your pipeline, because it doesn't do anybody any favors.
Yeah, exactly. So there'll be stuff going out on LinkedIn. Reach out to us. Even if you just want to explore it as a potential option, who knows, we might be able to teach you something. Any closing thoughts, guys, or should we wave it off? Cool.
True or false, Zach? SaaS.
It's false. You know that, and I know that.
That was a trick question.
Cool. Take it easy.
Thanks, all.